The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other shore of the Sea of Galilee. A scribe approached him and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus answered him, "Foxes have dens and birds of the sky have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to rest his head." And another disciple said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my father." To him Jesus answered, "Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead." The Gospel of the Lord. Reading from the book of Genesis, which is our first reading, that long reading about Abraham today, requires much conversation. The Torah wants to establish for sure that Abraham is called in a privileged, patriarchal way by God. To establish this firm identity, we have these conversations with God. They're not meant to be taken literally. They're meant to be taken theologically, that they establish the bond between Abraham and his conversations with God. Now, there's much more to be said about that, but we don't have time for that. Today, we have time to just look at Matthew's gospel here, about this scribe that comes up to him. That's very unusual, especially in the Jewish gospel of Matthew. Because the scribes were hostile to Jesus, and there are many ways, moments in which this is shown. So for this scribe to come up, and first of all, the scribes were teachers. So for this scribe to come to Jesus and address him as teacher, that was highly unusual. And then, given the hostility of the scribes, to say that he will follow Jesus wherever he goes is remarkable. However, the second disciple that says to Jesus, "I will follow you, but let me bury my father first." Now that requires a lot of attention. It appears also in chapter 9 in Luke's gospel, exactly the same text. "Let me bury my father first. Let the dead bury their dead. Follow me," says Jesus. There's a huge amount of commentary written on this, how to explain it and how to take the harshness out of what appears to be the first understanding of it. Some commentaries will speak about rearranging the Greek words that perhaps whoever arranged the translation and the Greek change some words, and if you change the words around, it might have a different meaning. Too complicated for the 8:15 Mass on Monday morning. However, the simplest and reasonable interpretation of this is that the man's father had not died yet. Now, that's a respected interpretation of this. Then, in fact, he wanted to wait for his father to die, and then he would get the inheritance. Now, keeping in mind that in the Semitic world at that time, even today, they bury their dead immediately after they die. Remember chapter 11 in John's Gospel, where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus was 4 days dead in the tomb, because immediately when he died, they wrapped him in the wrappings of the dead and they placed him in the tomb. When Jesus dies on Good Friday, they don't wait for 3 or 4 days of mourning. He's buried immediately. So even today, when you even see on the news recently about the conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians and those who died in that conflict, the images on the news are they're burying the person immediately. They so wrapped him in the wrappings of the dead, and they take them to be buried immediately. So that this man who was saying he's going to give me time to bury my father seems to indicate that his father is not dead yet. And he wants to go home, spend time with his father, get the inheritance, bury his father, and then he will come to follow Jesus. Now that interpretation gives us some understanding of what Jesus is saying here. Let the dead bury their dead. Let those who are not enlightened, who did not see the Messiah, and the dead here refers to people who are dead to the messianic presence of Jesus. And therefore, the summons of discipleship is now. It's not later. Let me go and check the stock market, or let me go and go on vacation, and then I will come back and follow Jesus. The call of Jesus is in the moment. It's a summons that somehow touches us in a moment of grace and calls us in that moment of grace into a condition of discipleship. Therefore, it makes more sense when you put it this way, and when we interpret it in this manner, then it takes on a different meaning, and the harshness is taken out of it. Pause now for a moment of prayer. This messianic person is moving up toward the altar. This could be the next pope, so you better take good care of him. Okay, off you go. Thank you. Pause now for a moment of prayer.